them are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller. It is Thursday, folks, the 17th of January, 2019. Now, Barbara Boyd continues here. With the Integrity Initiative's foreign agents of influence invade the United States. And this is a breakdown of the propaganda, the machine, how it works, who's involved, and what the objective is. So you're not supposed to know this stuff, folks. I'm not supposed to be able to bring you this. I'm some little afterthought doppelganger hanging out there in the nether world that somehow got overlooked. But you haven't overlooked it. And I look at this as one of the last remaining conduits of live interaction with people that are thirsting for the truth, so these horrible circumstances we now find ourselves in can be eradicated, never to be duplicated again. By the way, the Integrity Initiative, its subheading, Defending Democracy Against Disinformation. Defending Democracy. That's their buzzword. People need to be free. They need to be democratized. They need to have a say. Boy, doesn't that play right in the hands of the disinformation, convince 51% of the people that they should go kill the other 49% that disagree with them? On November 23rd of 2018, a group calling itself Anonymous posted actual documents from the Integrity Initiative, a rapid response black propaganda information warfare operation targeting Russia, China, Western Europe, and the United States. Since that initial posting, there have been three other document dumps concerning the initiative. The last one on January 4th. These documents reveal the boots on the ground, so to speak, for the cyberspace and the black propaganda policies, otherwise alluded to in the sanitized Diplo speak of the December 18, 2018 House of Lords report, which we just talked about. The initiative is run under the Institute for Statecraft. Now, this is a British non-governmental organization which receives 95% of their funding from guess who? The British government, NATO, and the U.S. State Department. It is housed in London, right next to the International Institute for Strategic Studies, in the very rich and chic building which, according to Gray Zone's Mohammed Al-Mazari, I think his name is, once housed the Knights Templar and was the London home of William Astor. This is despite its registration as a charity in Scotland with an address corresponding to a dilapidated and abandoned building. Its funding was recently supplemented by Facebook. It is seeking U.S. tax exemption for a spin-off of the NGO here to be funded by the Smith Richardson Foundation, with a plan to target major cities in the United States outside of Washington, D.C., or the coast. In all probability, the plan is to concentrate in the presidential battleground states for 2020 elections to prevent a second Donald Trump term. The first document released by Anonymous brags that the Integrity Initiative managed to derail the nomination of Pedro Baños to head Spain's Homeland Security Department based on a two-hour smear campaign claiming he was too soft on Moscow. The initiative operates on the basis of clusters or contact groups of journalists, military and foreign office personnel, academics, and lobbyists within almost every European country, the United States, and Canada, and is now looking to expand to the Middle East. These people get alerts, often through the medium of initiative contacts in the British embassies, to take action when the British Foreign Office perceives a need. A look at these clusters for the United States and Britain reveal them to be dominated by individuals from the Atlantic Council, the rabidly anti-Russian, anti-Chinese Jamestown Foundation, the Center for European Policy Analysis, and similar National Endowment for Democracy spinoffs. The Atlantic Council is home of the Digital Research Lab, which housed Dmitry Aleprovich, the guy who also leads CrowdStrike, the company which manufactured the fake story about the Russian hacking of the DNC. It also houses Ben Nimmo, who also shills for the Integrity Initiative and has written many of the provably fake claims about Putin's purported monster cyber capabilities. The Digital Research Lab was recently hired by Facebook to police and censor users. The U.S. cluster includes Evelyn Farkas, who formerly had the Russia and Eurasia desk at the Defense Department under Obama, and famously mouthed off on an episode of Morning Joe about the Obama administration's unmasking and leaks of classified information to Congress in order to derail the Trump presidency. The UK cluster includes Anne Applebaum of the Washington Post, Ed Lucas of the Center for European Policy Analysis, Bill Browder, and Vadim Kleiner from Browder's operation. And not surprisingly, Sir Andrew Wood of Orbis Business Intelligence, the firm founded by Christopher Steele. All of these people have been up to their necks in the operations against Trump. At the center of the Institute's very military operations, its use of propaganda directed simultaneously at both the government and the general population, Institute personnel lobby governments on behalf of war party policies against Russia and China, for example, in their guise as private parties, while the Institute itself is being paid as a think tank by the very same governments. At the same time, the Institute's media context echoes entirely concocted government debate to the general population. The circular churning of the media sphere is what Obama's former security advisor Ben Rhodes called creating a public opinion echo chamber, he put it. Rhodes cut his national security chops by helping with the production of the fraud known as the 9/11 Commission report. This methodology, fulfilling implemented in the British propaganda and regime change operation against Putin, which began while Litvinenko poisoning in 2006 and dramatically escalated in 2014, has created an astounding and deranged war fever against Putin in Britain and throughout Europe. The Integrity Institute is led by Christopher Donnelly, a very well-placed British military intelligence officer with an impressive career in NATO, the Ministry of Defense, and in military destabilization operations. Donnelly is obsessed with and paranoid about Russia. He laments that Britain and NATO are not equipped for war with Russia and proposes to change that by hyping the Russian threat both to governments and populations. Like an even more deranged Dr. Strangelove, Donnelly's prescription for responding to the annexation of Crimea in 2014 included mining Sevastopol harbor, attacking Russian satellites, destroying Russian fighter jets, all of such actions being, of course, acts of war. Donnelly argues that the British government needs a long-term vision that will inspire people to fight a war, something which most sane people, of course, given the existence of nuclear weapons, are more than a little hesitant about, that's to say the least. The Institute papers feature a discussion between Donnelly and General Sir Richard Barons in October of 2016, which finds Donnelly wishing for some shocking, horrendous event that will wake people up to the Russian threat. These documents posted by Anonymous show that the initiative personnel have targeted British Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn in a huge smear campaign, as well as the Scottish Nationalist Party and other domestic opponents of the powers that be in Britain. They also show that Simon Bracey Lane, a young Institute fellow, infiltrated the Bernie Sanders campaign in Iowa in 2016, gathering information which in all probability was reported back to the Clinton campaign. The Institute also claimed that Green Party candidate Jill Stein was a Russian pawn, a claim echoed by our beloved Hillary Clinton. In the United States, according to Max Blumenthal's terrific reporting, the Institute aims to create a new generation of information warriors. It has hired John Rendon, known as the man who sold the Iraq War, to train its perception management specialist. Rendon handled the publicity for Ahmad Shalabi and the Iraq National Congress, along with other Washington, D.C. public relations firms. BuzzFeed, which infamously published the Christopher Steele dirty dossier on Donald Trump, is listed as a friendly media source. An itinerary for Integrity Initiative head Christopher Donnelly's visit to the United States noted that Sebastian Gorka, Steve Bannon's buddy who served with him at the White House, was scheduled for a breakfast meeting with Donnelly. Gorka's wife, Catherine, who works for Homeland Security, is listed as an Institute contact. And Sebastian Gorka openly supports a person by the name of Ren, a Hungarian order of fascist pedigree. This Sebastian Gorka that I mentioned, once you see this guy, you do not forget him. There is a presence, and I will say a presence of evil about this guy. He's very even-tempered. He never talks too fast, never talks too slowly, doesn't stumble, doesn't get flustered. This guy is one cool propaganda deliverist. Donnelly was shepherded around Washington, D.C. by Ann Bader, former vice president of the Atlantic Council, whose own intelligence pedigree is completely British. He visited the Center for Naval Analysis, a key contributor to the Lord's Report, and the John McCain Institute executive director, Kurt Volker, a rabid neocon who serves as U.S. special representative to Ukraine. He also spent a lot of time at the State Department's Global Engagement Center, where Todd Leventhal doubles as an employee while also serving with the Institute. At its first U.S. event in Seattle, Washington, the Institute spokesman Simon Bracey Lane, the same guy who infiltrated the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign in 2016, reads remarks from Christopher Donnelly, noting that the West, quoting, was no longer in a peacetime rules-based environment. The conclusion is that we have to look for people who suit a wartime environment rather than peacetime. Blumenthal reports that active recruitment in the United States of such warriors is targeted on the alt-right formations in the circles of Bannon and Gorka, and young Trump supporters more generally who entertain a positive view of Putin and Russia, as well as the general public. Blumenthal asked the very germane question, how come these people don't have to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act? How come? The Institute has recently opened major operations targeting Germany, seeking to smear and defame existing German networks, urging peace with Russia, while attempting to build the same war fever they have created in Washington and London. According to Sputnik's Kit Clarenberg, the Institute's lead agent for Germany is Harold Elston, who was exposed by The Observer as an MI6 agent in 1996. Clarenberg writes, and I'm quoting him, One can spot a cultivated Ruslan Verschler, that's a Russian sympathizer, I guess, in German. Ellenston suggests when they make statements in accordance with one of the Kremlin's 21 alleged key messages, these include Germany and Russia had a special relationship and should return to it. Russia has legitimate interest and the West should respect them. The West deceived Russia over the NATO expansion. WikiLeaks and Snowden show the West has not been open in its dealings with Germany. The Georgian crisis was a result of the Georgian aggression. Russia has a legitimate claim to Crimea. The Ukrainian Revolution was actually a coup d'etat. And the sanctions against Russia are counterproductive and will damage the German economy. The Syrian crisis cannot be solved without Russian support, which has been instrumental in stopping the spread of ISIS. In essence, any German who remotely is critical of NATO, the West, or prevailing Western global politic narratives, or indeed government policy anywhere in the world, negatively impacting Russia in any way, or who simply don't view Russia as villainous, is a stooge of Vladimir Putin. The Institute's now public documents include a proposal by the French company Lexfo, which seeks funding for an offensive online influence campaign and includes a proposal for counteractivism through negative PR, legal actions, ethical hack back, etc., etc. It states that it can launch hundreds of news pieces a day and offers to edit Wikipedia articles. Lexfo's proposal is of a piece with the recent scandal enveloping the cyber warriors at New Knowledge, a U.S. corporation by former Obama staffers who were caught openly meddling in the Alabama candidate Roy Moore's campaign for the U.S. Senate. New Knowledge has been endorsed as a certifiable expert on Russian disinformation activities in the 2016 U.S. election by none other than the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee. The Intelligence Committee released a report authored by New Knowledge and quote-unquote experts at the Oxford University Computational Propaganda Research Project about Russian propaganda techniques on December 17th of last year. On December 19th of last year, however, the New York Times published internal New Knowledge documents about actual election interference, not by Russia, but by this company known as New Knowledge. According to Dan Cohen's definitive account of Gray Zone Project, among the tactics used was manufacturing a link between Roy Moore's campaign and the Kremlin by claiming thousands of Roy Moore Twitter followers were Russian bots. The internal report cited by the New York Times contained the admission, "We orchestrated an elaborate false flag operation that planted the idea that Moore campaign was amplified on social media by Russian botnet. New Knowledge ran a Facebook page boosting an obscure write-in candidate, Mack Watson, to draw votes away from Moore while using social media to amplify sexual assault allegations directed at Moore. Local media were deployed extensively to cover the alleged Russian Roy Moore linkage, and national coverage was provided by the Russiagate conspirator at Mother Jones magazine." According to Cohen's account, the Alabama disinformation campaign received at least $100,000 from Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn, although Hoffman has said he gave $750,000 to Mickey Dickerson's American Engagement Technologies. AET paid for the Alabama false flag campaign. Dickerson was the founder of the United States Digital Service, a signature Barack Obama initiative. The entire episode is now under investigation by the Alabama Attorney General. We're not done here yet, folks. Hang on.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
One of the new knowledge experts is Jonathan Morgan, once a special advisor to the Obama White House and State Department and contractor for DARPA. After his 2016 election, he was favored media source for the Obama-Clinton troop that Hillary Clinton's loss was the product of Russian disinformation. As cited by Cohen, Morgan told television viewers in Austin, Texas, that feelings of discontent were telltale signs that they had been duped by Russian disinformation. If it makes you feel too angry or really provokes that type of almost tribal response, then it may be designed to manipulate you. People should be concerned about things that encourage them to change their behavior. His partner in the actual disinformation operations conducted by New Knowledge is a one Ryan Fox, who spent 15 years at the NSA and was also a computer analyst for the military's Joint Special Operations Command. Since receiving $11 million in funding from Silicon Valley's GGV Capital, New Knowledge is positioning itself as a major player in the Anglo-American propaganda psyops. Morgan helped develop the Hamilton 68 dashboard, a completely phony tool for spotting Russian propaganda, which is funded by the U.S.-German Marshall Fund's Alliance for Securing Democracy. The Victoria Nuland outfit, which testified for the House of Lords report. The tranche of documents released by Anonymous on January 4th include a contract with Herod Associates to monitor social media and media response internationally to the Sergei Skripal poisoning and the British government response. The Institute labeled this and related activity Operation Iris. A previous anonymous release of the Institute's documents include the name of Christopher Steele's business associate and Sergei Skripal's MI6 handler, Pablo Miller. On the general contract list of Integrity Initiative head Christopher Donnelly, anonymous originally claimed that this list is from a meeting concerning the White Helmets, a major terrorist promoting an intelligence-funded aid organization critical to fake narrative that the Syrian government used chemical weapons against Syrian civilians. Former Ambassador Craig Murray, however, reasons that the Donnelly general contact list suggests much deeper involvement in the Sergei Skripal poisoning hoax. Murray notes that the list includes the political handler of Porton Down, the UK's chemical weapon facility, Skripal's MI6 handler, the BBC, and representatives of the Ministry of Defense, the Foreign Office, and the U.S. Embassy. In this release, Anonymous provides documents concerning Operation Iris and a timeline confirming Murray's hypothesis. As revealed in the January 4 dump, the Institute's media campaign about Skripal poisoning was designed to create popular demand for even harsher actions against Russia by the British government while planting articles all over the world blaming Putin for the Skripal poisoning. Journalists paid by the Institute published multiple articles in the British press supporting the Putin did it and it should be war line promulgated by Operation Iris. The initiative characterized the official British response as weak. Anonymous notes in its January 4th release that the Institute is also deeply entangled in the White Helmets operation. Many analysts following this story have also asked the obvious questions about Skripal, Miller, and Christopher Steele. Was Skripal, the MI6 former Russian spy, somehow involved in Steele's full-spectrum information warfare campaign against Donald Trump? Did he get Novichoked because he was threatening to spill the beans about how the whole fake dossier was cooked up? Or was he targeted, as some have suggested, to create a narrative whereby Christopher Steele and actual Russian sources, whose bravery in reporting to him resulted in Putin killing them? A phony narrative widely circulated by Steele's publicist after his Trump dossier had been thoroughly and appropriately debunked? Such an event would hardly be new in the annals of British intelligence. The blogger Moon of Alabama points out that Ben Nimmo appears to be double billing the Atlantic Council's Digital Research Lab and the Institute for his various raves about the Russian threat. Nimmo is the author of the stunningly preposterous claim that Putin has weaponized jokes. He also authored a 2017 Guardian piece claiming that Russia influenced the Brexit decision through Facebook ads with Guardian reporter Carol Codwaller. Both appear to have been paid by the initiative for their nonsense, even after Facebook revealed that Russian-linked accounts had spent a total of 97 cents on Brexit ads. These absurd claims, of course, parallel those of special counsel Robert Mueller and the Senate Intelligence Committee about how a few thousand dollars in Russian-linked Facebook ads, most of which occurred after the election, had little to say about Trump or Clinton, and a full quarter of which were seen by no one. And all of that swung the American election to Trump. Aaron Mattei has thoroughly debunked the Robert Mueller Senate Intelligence Committee nonsense. But they gave him 6 more months to try to dig some more nothing up, folks. We're going to continue with this until I'm done. How's that? This is the who, what, where, and why behind the curtain, folks. Don't look over there.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Another Integrity Initiative expert, Mark Gialotti, invented a whole Russian military doctrine of hybrid cyber warfare out of thin air in 2013, attributing it to a paper written that year by Russian General Valery Gerasimov. After years as an article of faith requiring expenditure of untold millions of defense dollars to defend against it, Gialotti himself finally retracted his invention in March of 2018, following an earlier shredding of his claims by U.S. Army Military Review. The now-exposed Integrity Initiative is only a small part of the massive British-spawned hybrid warfare apparatus targeting Russia, China, and dissident voices in target populations. This apparatus was put into action following the Ukraine coup in 2014. In the initial popular rumblings in Britain itself about Brexit. As Hillary Clinton herself observed, the British and the U.S. utterly failed to sell their coup in the Ukraine as a triumph of democracy. Clinton attributed this superior Russian social media and disinformation regimes. Reality would say, however, that the employment of the neo-Nazis as the coup mercenaries by the British and American friends, led by John McCain and Victoria Nuland, had a major impact on the applause meter. It's not incidental that the one Christopher Steele served as a prominent advisor to Nuland and the Obama administration concerning this coup, delivering over 100 missives to the State Department concerning its operations. In 2008, the Obama administration, faced with managing the financial collapse and the revolt of the American population, proposed to attack conspiracy theories, namely anything interrupting their preferred depiction to the American population of reality. Samantha Power's husband, Cass Sunstein, memorialized these discussions in January 2008. Harvard and University of Chicago Law School Publications. He largely focused on debunking what he called fake conspiracy theories about 9/11. Citing the arch-British agent, the godfather of George Soros, Sir Karl Popper, Sunstein advocated direct government intervention in internet chat rooms in the form of cognitive infiltration, suggesting that the resulting cognitive dissonance would render any political danger from conspiracy theories politically impotent. He also proposed that the private individual fed with government information systematically intervene in internet conspiracy forums. The recent fake narratives produced by QAnon and targeting Trump supporters just before the midterms, in the form of a video game, Pokemon-type clues about the coup, such as the fake claim that Robert Mueller is really on Trump's side, and a vivid example of such cognitive infiltration. In 2009, Obama and the British engaged in a NATO to set up a mechanism to control opinion in the transatlantic community, the NATO Center for Strategic Communications. This project, however, largely sat dormant until 2014, when the Institute for Modern Russia, a think tank run by deported Russian oligarch, crook, and British stooge, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, published a paper asserting that Russia was deploying a vast propaganda network that was inundating the West with conspiracy theories in order to create general confusion. The aforementioned, by the way, and debunked Integrity Institute expert Mark Gialotti is cited in the paper as its primary source of inspiration. In November 2014, the British military created the 77th Brigade, implementing a strategy of disrupting internet sites devoted to exposing facts about 9/11 and the war against Syria. Subsequently, in 2015, Anne Applebaum of the Washington Post and the Center for European Policy Analysis created a unit called the Information Warfare Initiative, which prominently featured Edward Lucas, who's the former editor of the London Economist and a general spook. The Center for European Analysis, a National Endowment for Democracy spinoff that was directed at the time by Zbigniew Brzezinski and Madeleine Albright. The Information Warfare Initiative focused its attacks on Russian media outlets, RT and Sputnik. At about the same time, in 2015, the Brits were setting up the Integrity Initiative as the central project of the Institute for Statecraft. Russiagate in the United States, kicked into manic gear by the electoral victory of Donald Trump, was used to justify a massive expansion of these operations, kicking them all off with a lurid article in the November 24, 2016 Washington Post, drawing on the supposed research of the shadowy outfit calling itself Proper Not. The article claimed that 200 websites were pawns of the Russian government. This included just about every site in the United States opposing the Bush and Obama foreign adventures. The Proper Not organization involves Polygraph, a government-funded Voice of America outlet, The Interpreter, the Institute for Modern Russian magazine, the Center for European Policy Analysis, and the Atlantic Council's Digital Research Lab. The entire effort is now subject to massive funding based on Barack Obama's 2016 National Defense Authorization Act. Although Trump appears to have been successful in initially blocking the full implementation of Obama's plans, Secretary of State Pompeo has now fully funded the State Department's Global Engagement Center as stipulated in the 2016 NDAA. The Integrity Initiative claims that It is now fully engaged with the state's GEC. Todd Leventhal is a dual staffer at the state and the Integrity Initiative. In the United States, the Integrity Initiative is also working with the Center for Naval Analysis and the Center for European Analysis. It has also worked extensively with the State Department's Ukrainian intelligence collaboration known as Stop Fake. It is working with far-right groups in Ukraine and the Baltics and mapping a full-scale attack on the Russian Orthodox Church, according to the documents posted by Anonymous. With the funding spigots now completely open, every think tank inhabiting the U.S. security complex is spouting disinformation, and cyber war entities surpassing even the billions of dollars poured into the same black holes for war on terror. The same is true in Britain. It is possible to specify at least 60 organizations now dedicated to information psyops against the population in the United States. Max Blumenthal, in his first takedown of the Integrity Initiative, compares it to Operation Mockingbird. The collaboration of the intelligence agencies, comprised politicians and the national news media, which employed over 400 American journalists in the service of the CIA during the Cold War. In a fiery parting shot at just this type of apparatus, award-winning journalist William Arkin has resigned from NBC News and MSNBC. Arkin, the author of one of the last great exposés on the national security state, Top Secret America, blasted NBC as a total captive of that very security state. Put now in larger context, a British information warfare and regime change operations directed at Russia and independent thinkers in the United States. Britain and Western Europe operations were put on steroids as of 2014. What are we to make of the Christopher Steele dossier on Donald Trump and its use to impact the 2016 elections and Trump presidency? The dossier itself is flat out, totally and utterly false. A stinking, hideous fraud. Christopher Steele himself, in subsequent testimony, has described it as unverified raw intelligence and will not vouch for its accuracy. Even in its most fervent champions, such as Yahoo's Michael Isikoff, who met personally with Steele in September of 2016, now doubt the document which provided the central legends of Russiagate. And as former White House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes has repeatedly emphasized, the operation against the Trump campaign, using the dossier as its investigative backbone, were not run through traditional U.S. channels. Rather, they were run through the traditional channels of British influence in the United States, the CIA, and the State Department. All these operations were coordinated from the Obama White House. Donald Trump was always the target of the extraordinary and illegal FBI investigation, despite the earlier pretense of counterintelligence operation directed at Trump campaign volunteers and advisors. The president became an explicit target when he fired James Comey. According to the blaring headlines of January 12th of 2018 in the New York Times, at that point, the New York Times reports top levels of FBI decided they have to go after the President of the United States as a covert Russian agent, accusing him under the circumstances of treason, since they viewed Russia as the ultimate foreign enemy of the United States. In this crazed atmosphere, having all the earmarks of a coup, an American putsch is legal garb. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein talked about wearing a wire to set the president up, while others talked about invoking the 25th Amendment. After the election, Tom Steyer, George Soros, and other Silicon Valley billionaires provided some $70 million in an attempt to put meat on Steele's fact-free worked product. A big part of this exercise is to create enough atmospherics and smoke to prevent the public from concluding that those who believe this crap are stark raving mad and belong in mental institutions rather than having any say in our government. That is also a large part of the function assigned to Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Belief that the dossier is true requires the assumption that Christopher Steele had some 32 sources inside the Russian government. What they allegedly told him is specific enough in time and content to identify them. You have to further assume that the British government, therefore, was willing to roll up this entire network, since the intention was the dossier's wild claims to be published as widely as possible. By all accounts, Britain and the United States together do not have 32 highly placed sources inside the Russian government, nor would they ever make them public in this way, or this very sloppily run tradecraft. In fact, they would not engage in such covert intelligence operations malpractice for even one valued source. Upon closer examination, it's clear that the dossier uses aspects of readily available public information, such as the sale of 19% of the energy company Rosneft, the alleged bribe offered to Carter Page for lifting sanctions, to concoct a fictional narrative of high crimes and misdemeanors. There were no highly placed Russian sources, not one, let alone 32. The InfoWar campaign, which spread internationally that the legend that Donald Trump was a Manchurian candidate, involved a small group of individuals in the U.S., journalists and government officials working or in some way associated with the firm Fusion GPS, British steered networks in the State Department, Obama's DNI, CIA, FBI chiefs, and the Obama White House. These people had all known each other for years, if not decades, and were skilled in information warfare. In Britain, it involved the intelligence circles of Sir Richard Dearlove, Senator in the Henry Jackson Society, Steele's Orbis Business Intelligence, and the firm Hackluft, billed as favorite retirement home for MI6 spies. The dossier was given credence only because it was backed by very powerful people who insisted that this obvious British hoax must be taken with absolute dead seriousness. Not taking it serious or speaking about its obvious fakiness was a career ender in national security state. These people had one strategic goal in mind, to destroy Trump, the American disruptor, or at the very least, to undermine his rational desire expressed throughout his presidential campaign for better and sane relations with Russia. A much larger group of partisan officials and journalists were willing to leave their brains and morals behind in an all-or-nothing effort to defeat, neuter, or remove Donald Trump, even if it resulted in a deranged and mounting national hysteria about Russia, a hysteria which now champions war against both Russia and China. As we said at the outset, the British operations had two goals. They were to continue to rage and wield their knives. They have yet to succeed in removing Donald Trump, but as the House of Lords and Richard Dearlove emphasize, this remains a central British strategic goal. In the meantime, a large section of our population and most in Congress are nuts about Putin and Russia, blocking every effort the president has undertaken to improve relationships. According to the Lords, it is facilitated by Trump's own cabinet and a fawning Anglophilic Congress. So with respect to that second goal, creating McCarthyite war fever infecting official Washington and a large portion of the population in the United States, the British and their toadies can say mission accomplished, at least for now. The Richard Dearlove network of networks and the British push, the Steele dossier, and the Integrity Institute involved the same British intelligence networks revolving around Sir Richard Dearlove, the former head of MI6. Dr. Victor Madeira, One of the key staffers at the Integrity Institute used to work directly for Dearlove and Sir Christopher Andrew at the Cambridge Intelligence Forum. In 2014, the then DIA chief, Michael Flynn, was invited to visit that forum and chatted about Russian intelligence history with a Russian graduate student and a historian there. Steele was at the same event. So was Stephen Halper, a close friend of Dearlove, who subsequently worked with the CIA and the British intelligence in entrapment operations targeting Trump volunteers George Papadopoulos, Carter Page, and Sam Clovis. In 2014, Halper and others claimed that Flynn was compromised by a Russian historian and spread their absolutely false bilge throughout the transatlantic intelligence community in an effort which many believe led to Flynn's firing by Barack Obama. Flynn's real sin was his confrontation of the Obama administration and the British for using terrorists to fight the Assad regime in Syria, highlighting their other alliances with the Islamic terrorist group and for insisting that Russia could be a valuable ally in the war on terror and other fronts. You see why Flynn had to go? And then the best the FBI could do is try to trip him up and supposedly catch him in a lie? This is standard practice for the FBI field operatives, to lie. And they claim that Flynn lied? No. Why they had to get Flynn out of the way and get him out of that White House that Donald Trump now occupies is because of that little-known fact worldwide that, in fact, the United States was funding, supporting, training, and protecting ISIS inside Syria. And, of course, the forces that cropped up in Syria to fight this evil Assad regime that was gassing his own people. It was all bull. All of it. Andrew Wood, the former UK ambassador to Russia, a friend of Dearlove and an advisor to Christopher Steele's Orbis Business Intelligence Company, is listed as a specialist team member of the Integrity Institute. Drew Foxall of the Henry Jackson Society, where Dearlove is the leading light, is listed as a member of the inner core of the Institute. Isn't that nice? Both the Integrity Initiative and Christopher Steele traffic and intelligence lies targeted at Russia, and both employ the media echo chamber to legitimize these lies through media retainers and witting government accomplices. Among the specializations which have been at one point or another listed as special skills of Steele's Orbis Business Intelligence are creating public opinion groundswells and delivering targeted political campaigns. Richard Dearlove is an old hand at such operations. While leading MI6, Dearlove infamously vouched for the Doctor dossier which said that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Collaborating with the CIA's George Tenet on one of the most deadly intelligence lies in the last century. Christopher Steele has a similar, albeit less developed, pedigree. He was the MI6 case officer for Alexander Litvinenko, a Russian defector who worked for the Russian oligarch Boris Berezovsky and took up residence in Britain. Well, Litvinenko was murdered using polonium poisoning in 2006, and after making millions of dollars looting Russia, fled to London and went to war against Putin on behalf of the MI6. It's not a stretch to opine that Steele also ran this man's operations prior to his murder. Steele instantly blamed this Litvinenko's murder on Putin and obviously had a role in the orchestrated and notorious deathbed statements by Litvinenko, which did the same. The deathbed statement was drafted by another associate, Alex Goldfarb, a former George Soros employee. It was further massaged by Bell Pottinger, the disgraced British public relations firm famous for such contracts as its $540 million effort for the CIA making fake Al-Qaeda propaganda films for war in Iraq. The British government didn't bite, and instead indicted a sole Russian for the crime, not the Russian state. In the wake of the Ukraine coup, the Vintniko case was revived for propaganda purposes. The new British review lasted 2 years, ending in January 2016, and charging that Russia and Putin were probably responsible for the murder. The report used the word probably 35 times with respect to its major findings. Levitno's father blames organized crime associates for the murder, and Berzovsky himself was suicided in 2013. About out of time, aren't we? Well, I am out of time. I wished I could have moved faster on this. I have about, maybe 10% of this left. I would urge you, ladies and gentlemen, and let's have some fun here. Let me make a few suggestions. It's listed on our website, republicbroadcasting.org, as the British role in the coup against the president is now exposed. Will you act now to save the nation? I would suggest that you download this, print it out, read it over, make some highlights. For these clowns that are sitting very coiffured and positioned very comfortably in their chairs, parading around as being news deliverers or journalists on our, I hasten to even call it the news agencies, it's the propaganda ministry, yet to be renamed that. Don't worry, they'll get around to it when they have total control. But take these, and if they've got a Twitter account, every one of these clowns has one, or maybe a Facebook page, or maybe an email that they put out, they'll, chances are, shove you over to Twitter so you can be deplatformed almost immediately, or shadow mask, if you will. But see if you can get an email to these people. And when they bring on these talking heads from these supposedly non-governmental organizations where it's their job number one to spread propaganda and lies, to further confound and confuse and continue with the chaos that you're seeing right now, folks, in every nook and cranny, everywhere you look. It's time for us to go on the offensive. They think we're a bunch of dolts, that we don't know our toilet paper from a hole in the ground. Well, let me again point to one of their major flaws, their chink in their armor, so to speak, their arrogance and their sloppiness. You spread too many lies, you got to keep repeating those lies, and how are you going to catch up with the lie to sink it with the new lie and to continue with the liar's program? They trip themselves up. Are we smart enough to catch them and jam it right back in their face? Well, if we aren't now, we'd better get used to it and get good at it real quick. I thank you for being here today. Back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a-goin' dry.